Start the show.
Two bears, one cave. Making it hot and looking good. He's Bert Kreischer. I'm Tom Segura.
Let's just put the pedal to the metal and go. This is a perfect way to start off this show. 12 years in the making. It's gonna be a fucking shit show.
Everyone's gonna hate us.
100%.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a 3-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Welcome to another episode of Two Bears, One Cave. I'm Tom Segura. He's Bert Kreischer. And trying to get all the K's in there. And
by the way, that shit's going to need to stop before my special.
Are you doing that thing on the title card where it's Bert KKK Kreischer? No?
No.
Oh, I don't know. I'm asking.
No.
When are you allowed to discuss the release date?
I can't yet. Not yet.
Yeah.
We almost slipped up on Rogan. I almost said it because I was drunk.
I got mine. Did I tell you?
No.
I got mine.
Really?
Yes. The month that we are coming out is completely loaded. It is one after, like, it's...
Wait, hold on. Are you with me?
I'm a week apart from you. Yeah.
Nice. Before?
After.
Damn it.
And then, you should see the whole lineup.
If yours had come out the week before, mine would have been huge.
No. It's all going to be... It's all.
Everyone's going to watch yours, and then mine would be out, and they'd be like, oh, Bert too?
You know what the thing is?
People will be still watching yours going, oh, shut the fuck up!
No, it's great. It's just great to be in the circle together, but it's not just us. It's,
I can tag my marketing for my special. I can throw yours in too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. That's going to be fucking huge.
It's going to be great,
man. That's going to be really fucking huge.
And then don't be surprised if Netflix is like, hey, do you mind promoting these other ones too?
Wait, do you know who else is?
Yeah, I know the whole lineup.
Can you write the names down that I want to know? Yeah. I want to know. God damn it. I wish I had what you have about, like, I remember going to Montreal with you, and you were talking to these people, and I was like, yeah, and then you're like, they're agents. And I was like, how did you even know that? And you're like, how do you not know that? And I was like, I just don't know anything about this business. I feel like...
You have a pen?
No, why would we? Yeah, I do actually have a pen. Dude, you're going to love the way this pen writes, too.
Really?
This pen writes so good, you got to take the top off.
I know how that part works. We forgot our... Oh, yeah, let me do this real quick, and then...
Here, give me the pen.
Yeah. Open it up for me. Okay. Just hold on a second, okay?
Yeah.
Do it a second.
Speaking of write down the names of the people having specials in our month.
In our month. Okay. I'm going to do this for you. Okay.
It's an interesting episode because we are going to talk about what we've learned from our dads, because your dad really has... Don't you love the way that pen writes?
Yes.
Really?
Actually, it really is great.
It's a great fucking pen.
You're not kidding.
You want to keep it? I can give it to you because I bought 12 of them.
Okay.
And I sprinkle them all around my house, so I always have them. Same with sunglasses. These are the things I would teach my kids. Buy 5 pairs of your favorite sunglasses and leave them around the house. So
that's
that you never like
current order for certain things.
I knew the last one.
Yeah.
I didn't know the first one. That's good though.
Yeah.
That's great. And I didn't know the second one.
You know another thing that's great?
What?
When that happens,
yeah,
it'll really beat that up pretty hard. So that ends up looking even better. You know what I mean?
I love your brain. And can I tell you? Can I tell you what is? Yeah, this is gonna be great, man. We're gonna. I got a big month planned.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good.
Okay. So what did your what are the things your dad taught you?
Well, I'm trying to think. I mean, you know, he is really methodical. He's very much a planner. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind actually about him is being punctual and early for things.
Really?
Well, he's a fucking maniac about that. Like, he, you know, he's a Marine.
I knew he was in Vietnam.
Yeah, in Vietnam. You know, he led a platoon of men.
So your dad's military?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I never fucking realized that.
Yeah, my dad's a retired Marine Corps captain, man. So he didn't, it wasn't in the Marine Corps when I was growing up, but like that is a big part of his life, his creed.
Did he ever get those nightmares?
No, but he PTSD? Does. No, he did, not PTSD. He actually, in very, very recently, started talking about how, like when he told me, like it's really sad, how he thinks about the guys that died, you know, every day. I was like, what? He goes, every day I think about those guys. I go, you think about the guys that were in your platoon that died? He goes, every single day. I was like, God damn, man. That was like, because all he used to ever tell me about was just like war stories. Like you're watching a History Channel show. He was like, so we were on Hill 65 and the Viet Cong were, and then this rice hopper came through. I'm like, all right. And he goes, we mowed him down. I'm like, okay. I'm like, so he tells a lot of like battle stories, which I was always like surprised that he didn't get worked up. I'm like, is this okay to talk about? And he was like, oh yeah, this is great. And then he would just tell stories for like hours. But then I was, you know, he told me that about how much he thinks about those guys, and it's heartbreaking, you know. But
I think it's got to be, I've been getting depressed because I'm getting older, and I feel like, but the reason I'm getting depressed is not because I'm getting older. It's because Leanne's older than me, mm-hmm. and she's getting older first, and I'm watching it happen. Like, she's turning 50 this year, and she's like, what are we going to do for my 50th? And I was like, ignore it.
You know what you should do, though, right?
What, divorce?
No, well, definitely. But, you know, like, Leanne doesn't know how to ball out.
Not at all.
And you got to do it for her, and you got to do it without running it by her or her knowing at all.
I started doing that and she lost her shit.
Just do it anyway. You got to do something awesome for her 50th.
Yeah.
Her 50th is this year? 2020?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. There's a... This is going to come out really wrong.
That's the way we want it.
No, not in a good way.
Oh.
There's a... You know, here's the thing, you know, when you party a lot, obviously you hang out with a lot of people that party. We've talked about this before on the podcast. You have run into a lot of alcoholics that some really turn their life around and do great things. And then some guys that were comics that you didn't speak to in 20 years are still just miserable alcoholics and they're not happy people.
Yeah.
And they haven't continued to write and they've never challenged themselves. They were content in a bottle. I think about those people the way your dad thinks about dead Marines. Like, I go, sometimes I'll sit there and I'll go, I feel bad for, because I was in drinking with them, and then somehow I got out of whatever it was. Maybe I was never as bad as they were, out of whatever it is. You look at some people in this business and I feel like you run into them and you're like, ugh, like almost. And I talked about this so much, but when you, there's a survivor's remorse, and I think that's what your dad has.
Oh yeah.
Where he goes, I heard some Marine say, I'm sure it was some guy on Rogan's podcast, that every time he gets in his pool, he thinks about all the guys that can't get in their pool.
That's all those guys end up thinking about. My cousin was like, we're having dinner with the whole family. And my cousin goes, it must weigh on those guys from war, that were in war, about like having killed other people. And my dad goes, doesn't weigh on them at all. And he was like, what? And he goes, nobody worries about that. And he was like,
Really? Because my cousin's so sweet and innocent, and he was like, no, he's like, let me tell you something. Nobody is bothered by that, by killing the enemy. And everybody was like, okay. He goes, what weighs on you is the guys you lost. That's what you think about. He goes, I've never lost a second of sleep over any of the enemy dying. He's like, you think of it.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could plug like your computer into your dad's neck and you could play his memories on a big screen?
It might be too much. Yeah, dude. I mean, that stuff in particular, I'm sure. I mean, you know, you think about it, man. Like, it's one of the reasons where I just go like, man, I hope we don't go to war, because I just feel like it's so terrible to be a part of a war. None of those guys are like, that was great, you know? It's all terrible. It's just death and destruction, no matter which side you're on. It's just horrible.
It just stinks. I don't know, yeah. I don't even know anything about what's going on with Iran, so. And by the way, when this comes out, we probably will either be in war or not be in war.
Yeah. It's I don't know.
I feel bad for anyone that has to go do that. I don't have what that takes. It's easier for me to compartmentalize Vietnam because I've seen so many movies about it.
Yeah.
I don't really understand what was going on in Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, you see a couple movies like Sniper and you're like, I couldn't do that. I would end up just going into one of those houses and locking myself in a room and being like, the captives held me and I just escaped by the hair of my things. Thank God I got it out here alive. What happened? Oh, shut up. We were in a firefight.
You'd be that guy?
Yeah, I'd be that guy. I would definitely be that guy. I would be the guy going, waking up in the morning going, I don't feel good. I think I'm getting sick. I'm going to stay in this day. But I think of those Vietnam guys were... Not saying that it was a worse war. I don't know, but all I know is that once you got dropped off in the jungle, you were camping for the rest of like until
he had told us a story about how they were told to leave their packs back for like just fire support, meaning like go up to this position, just engagement support, just fire.
Yeah.
So leave your packs, which are, you know, canteens of water and food, because you're going to go there and you're just going to come back. Well, they got stuck out there with no water. So then they had to helicopter out these jugs, and the helicopter lowers them, release them. They all burst. So then they had to...
It's a fucking dick move.
Oh, my God. So they watched them all fall off and go, just explode. So they all had, I mean, he was like, we were without water, 62 guys for, you know, the better part of a full day, like overnight and then into the next day. Shit like that. Yeah. Where I'm like, oh my God, dude.
I one time went into hot spin without water.
Yeah.
I had to like get up in the middle of class and everyone, like, you know, like the doors being open.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone looked at me weird. And I know what that feels like.
Yeah. I know exactly.
God, man. Fucking.
Dude, I flew coach 4 years ago. It sucked.
I feel like I don't know. I don't have any of that in me. My dad went to the draft, and they came. They pulled him in. They're like, do you have any allergies, any physical? And my dad goes, I have asthma. And they're like, all right, you're out. My dad.
Oh, yeah.
Really? They're like, yeah, and he just walked out.
Do you know what the quickest out was?
What?
Back then?
Gay.
No. Overweight. So people would just like show up. He said one time sometimes they would go from like central command and bring somebody, like a new guy.
Yeah.
And my dad was, you know, he's pretty hardcore. He said that like this guy walked up and my dad just looked at him, he goes, where'd they bring your sorry sack of shit ass from? And the guy was like, I'm from fucking Utah or something. He was like, get on that chopper and go back. Your fat ass can't fucking haul with us. And he was like, okay.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, good.
Sorry.
He was like, yeah, sorry I showed up. But that was a guy who actually made it through boot. Some of the guys, like if you were just, you know, here.
Because you
couldn't even go to boot camp.
I love the economy of directness in war.
Oh, yeah.
Of the, hey, there's no time to be worried about your feelings.
Yeah.
You're fat. You're going to get me killed.
Yeah.
Leave.
Yeah.
There is an, that is so, I was reading this article today about the Ricky Gervais thing. He's getting in trouble for transphobic tweets or whatever.
He is?
By the way, they're not bad. I'm the last person that should speak about any of this, and I know how this is going to be edited. But some lady, J.K. Rowling, supported some lady that was.
Oh, I know what this is.
And I don't. And then
J.K. Rowling tweeted that she stands with Maya. I think is
yeah.
It
Maya
is a journalist,
a researcher, like a genetic researcher who said. She said basically.
I stand with her, meaning that the researcher had made a statement about.
Scientifically.
Yeah, that there are two sexes.
Yeah, there are two sexes.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, what does it say?
What is it? Can you make it bigger?
Oh, no, the Ricky Gervais made a joke.
Oh.
He goes, we need to protect the rights of women. Not to erode them, because some men have found a new cunning way to dominate and demonize an entire sex. That's not the joke I read. Yeah. But she basically said, scientifically, if you are born a man, you will always be a man. I guess that is what she said. I'm not something to that effect. But I thought...
People lit up J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
For saying like... But she was like, wear what you want. Dress how you want, but there are two. Like, and then people were like, didn't realize you just crushed my entire childhood dreams. I used to believe in Harry Potter's magic. And
yeah, by the way, this coming from a woman who's written in fantasy her whole fucking life, can't understand that maybe someone doesn't feel like they're. Maybe they don't feel
pull
like
up the J.K. Rowling tweet.
Dwarf or whatever.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling tweet was like. I want to get it right because it's very specific.
Guys, we need to, all of a sudden, I know that I've made my living off fantasy, but we need to get real about this shit. Ooh, J.K. Rowling's is hot.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Dress however you please. Call yourself what you like. Sleep with any consenting adult who'll have you. Live your best life in peace and security, but force women out of their jobs for stating that sex is real. I stand with Maya. This is not a drill.
Okay, so, well, that's not as bad as what I thought you were saying.
That's the tweet that blew out.
So read what Maya wrote, because what Maya wrote was like, I think she's a scientist.
Really?
So I don't fucking know. This is why.
Yeah, this is you.
I tweet, this is what's wrong with me. I said, I always say I don't talk about politics. And then the other day I retweeted some, like the 10 most ridiculous PC things to happen.
Yeah.
And this guy fucking lit me up. He's like, bro, you always say you don't talk about politics, but here you are retweeting active rights agenda, because they put this out there so that you can then, and it made sense what he said, is they put the crazy ones out there so you can start writing off the not so crazy ones.
Right.
So when you read the crazy ones, then you read one that's not so crazy, but you're like a zimzer, and you're like, well, fuck that. That should be lumped in with that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of my daughter's friends just became, and I think I'm using this correctly, and it, because I used it to someone and they said, oh, they corrected me, and I was like, she became a they.
Yeah, so she's non-binary.
Right.
They are non-binary.
They are non-binary. Yeah.
Yeah.
She became a they. And by the way, I got to be honest with you, I kind of called it when I met the kid in fucking first grade.
You did?
I swear to God. When she.
Are you letting your daughter stay friends with them?
Yeah, she was at her house. She was at her house the other day.
Oh.
With them, you just nailed it.
Yeah.
Okay. What did she say? What did Maya say? Thanks. Yeah, read it. Do it like that. Like you're waking me up like a cop.
Yeah, I can't read that at all.
I think you mean Zim. Oh, yeah. Zoom in. Yeah. But yeah, it's. I don't know what my point. Oh, here was my point. There is something so like in today's society, we kind of almost have to. Just when new rules come up, when you first hear it, I think everyone is taught, don't say anything. Just shut your fucking mouth.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to say something and then you got to deal with all the fucking repercussions?
I think the thing
there's something beautiful about the economy of war where they're like, hey, I don't give a fuck what the fuck. You're gonna get me killed.
Oh yeah, they don't fuck around with
like the military.
How might this affect your feelings?
How might this affect your feelings?
No, they're like, you can't hang because you're a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah,
go home.
Yeah,
that's how they talk.
You can't be like, tell him to get out of that. It's a they, sir. I don't give a fuck. No. Tell him to get out of that bunker or I'm gonna fucking die.
Yeah,
and I'll kill all of they. By the way, I'm sure that will be plugged into something. I'll kill all of they. No, I'm not going to let you say it. God.
Bert.
I just hope that...
Bert. Black people didn't invade our country.
I just hope, I swear to God, I hope that you guys enjoy the unraveling of my career and just see me on the road. I will never get a movie. I will never get a TV show.
Oh, you're going to get all those things. You know what? You know what made me real sad, though?
What?
You, when we did Rogan, God, man, you had never told me the full extent of the your teeth getting knocked out story.
Oh, yeah.
And you told it on that podcast, and I was like, Jesus, man.
Yeah.
You made everybody fucking sad.
I know. But that's, well, that's like... it's so funny. I never saw it as sad, really. I just thought it was a little fucked up.
It was sad.
My dad wasn't the kind of guy. My dad is not. He's different now that he's
a lot
older.
Of people were railing against your dad afterwards.
Yeah. Luckily, my dad doesn't know what Twitter is.
No, it's good.
No, he just.
That's old school.
A little old school. Yeah. Like I remember one time he was yelling at me, and I was in high school, and I started to cry. Whoa, bro. It was like I asked to suck his dick.
Really?
He was like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, and he goes, don't you fucking cry. I remember that so vividly. Like, cause he, and by the way, if I can say there's one thing my dad's done that fucked me up, that, because then I turned into this guy who I saw crying as a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't cry from that moment. I didn't cry again. I think the next time I cried was when Leanne broke up with me, when we were dating. She broke up with me, and I cried. That was the first time I cried again.
Yeah.
That was like fucking...
years.
10 years.
Yeah.
12 years. And then I saw crying as a weakness. So like if a woman cried, I'd fucking write her off. I'd be like...
Yeah.
I remember Stacey Dash cried. I told you this, I think. I was in spin class and when I was like 26 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I put myself on the bike at Crunch. Bob, from Biggest Loser, was our trainer, was our spin teacher.
Yeah.
Put myself on the good bike. There was like a couple good bikes. Once you found a good bike, you knew what the good bikes were. Put myself on the bike, and I go to fill up my water bottle, and I come back, and my stuff is on another bike, and Stacey Dash is on that bike.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whoa, you just switched bikes. She goes, no, I didn't. I said, no, you definitely did. I put myself on that bike. She goes, oh, no. I called this bike. This is my bike. And I went, No, it's not. I put my stuff on that bike for a reason. She goes, "What does it matter?" And I went, no, it does, because you know that it matters. You know that that's the good bike and that the bike next to it sucks because they didn't fix the pedals.
Yeah.
And I go, if that is your feeling, then you take another bike and I'll take that bike. And Bob from Biggest Loser goes, hey, what's going on, guys? This is spin class. We shouldn't be fighting. I go, she took my bike. And he goes, did you take his bike? And she started crying.
Yeah.
And I went, you fucking cunt.
Yeah,
because how dare you shut down my argument, valid argument, for just going, I don't know how to use words so good, so I'm gonna
it's manipulation.
It's manipulation.
And fucking women get away with it way more because they can just go to that crying technique, and then what happens is a lot of people who don't feel like engaging on the details of that argument just go, like, there's a woman crying.
It's a power shift. It's absolutely. Everyone in public sees a woman crying and a man yelling. And they go, oh,
he's abusive.
He just abused her. And I go, no.
Everyone's going, Bert abuses women.
Yeah.
I'm saying in that situation.
In that scenario, I abuse women. Like that.
So.
Dude, I said to George at one time.
Uh-oh.
When she was a little girl, she did something wrong. This is when she was little, too. She did something wrong. And I said, and I was telling her, by the way, this happened last night, too. I was doing something wrong, and she did something wrong, and I was correcting her, and she and I was being stern with her, and she started crying, and I was in the kitchen, Liam was in the other room, and I said, "Don't cry, do not cry." I said, "If you want to compete, as a child, if you want to compete with men in the workplace, you got to learn how to not cry." And Leanne goes, "She's fucking three. What the fuck are you?" And, but it was like in my head, I was so broken,
of course,
about crying that I couldn't,
dude,
I couldn't.
I am with you. I, whenever, if there's an irrational crying, like for something, you know, I can't believe there's no parking space outside. I'm like, I immediately shut down and I go, keep this person away from me. I really have like a disease to stay away from it because it, it's so unsettling to be around an overly emotional person for me. Yeah. I can't be around it at all. You know, somebody who cries for no, you know, it's
crying,
like
crying says so much more than just I'm hurt.
Yeah.
It speaks. It's like, you know, if a painting says 1,000 words, a woman crying in a parking lot is a novel. Like that's probably 1,000 words. No. And so that's probably a short essay, but like if Leanne has never cried in public with me. If she did, I'd get up and walk away. I just walk away. I'd be like, I'm done with you. I can't deal with crying. And it goes back to my dad. When I started to cry, I bet my dad said, "What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you about to say I'm done with the conversation? I'm going to cry and try to one up you. Is this you fucking overbetting me?
Yeah.
You want to be a fucking man?" He's like, and I bet in his head, he was like, "I can't raise a man that goes into an office and starts to cry."
Right.
Like, what fuck?
Right, because he was going to work every day, and he's like, none of us sit around and cry when things are problematic.
No, no, objection, Your Honor. I just it's so crazy. I've seen my dad cry. Have you ever seen your dad cry?
I saw him, the night his dad died, I remember being like 9 and I was across the street playing at a friend's house and they called to come home and I was like, can I stay longer? And they said, yes, one, like a couple more hours. And I was like, can I stay longer now? And they're like, no, you need to come home. And I was like, all right. And I came home and his dad had died and he was crying. I remember him saying that he was crying for his mother because she was alone now. That's why he was crying.
Dude. The words that come out of a crying man.
Yeah.
Grown man. Not me and Tom, but like our dads. The words that come out of a grown man's mouth are so fucking intense.
Yeah.
Like it really levels you.
It does. Oh, I remember when they legalized gay marriage, he cried really hard. No, I'm just kidding.
I watched my dad cry. My dad cried when Florida State failed me in 2 classes and I had to...
I thought you were going to say national championship game. And I was like, I feel him, dude. Oklahoma won. God damn it.
I had to drive up to Tallahassee to talk to these two professors and they only failed me because the Rolling Stone magazine came out, article came out. And I had to drive up to Tallahassee and it was like 6 a.m. It was like probably 5 a.m. and I had to get up there by noon or whatever. So I'm getting out and packing my car. I've already... moving.
You just have to go. Just go talk to the professors.
I'm gonna drive up and talk to the professors, and I had reached out to them, like, and I guess called one, and one told me not to waste my time, that I could go fuck myself.
A professor did.
If I had his name, I'd rat him out. If I had this guy's name, I would rat him out. I hope he's still in Tallahassee. I hope he's drinking and smoking and living in his closet of an office. This fucking cunt. I reached out and he told me to go fuck myself. Then I got to his office and he said, I thought I told you to go fuck yourself. And I went, I'm moving to New York. I wrote about this in my book, but I go, I'm moving to New York. Like I don't really have the, I can't really go back to school for another semester to make up this class. And I need this class. And I've talked to the administration and they said that there is a way that a lot of teachers with a graduating senior will give like an out where they write an essay or they try to make up the work so that they can graduate. I've already walked. Like I'm moving to New York. Like I'm, and so I was wondering if there's a way. And he said, let me be very clear. He was like, you have sullied the name of the institute I am a teacher at. I'm paraphrasing. I'm trying to remember exactly. And he goes, you're famous now. What do you care? He goes, you're famous. You got a book deal. You got a movie deal. You got all these things. You're famous. Go be famous, man. Go be famous. By the way, I'm such a fucking idiot. I started going, yeah. Like, I was in my head. I'm like, what do I need this class for in my head? And he goes, you can go fuck yourself. He goes, I will never give you a C. I will never pass you. I'll never do anything to help you. And I was like, I remember going, you're like a teacher. Like, but now you realize he's just some broken 28-year-old, 30-year-old dude who's never going to be anything in his life. And he probably knows that. He's a writer. Fucking, he didn't know Barnes & Noble was going to go out of business. He didn't know all this shit that was going to happen.
What class was this?
Creative writing. It was creative writing.
Yeah.
So, like, I had written all the papers. He just failed me. And he was, and so I came home. I told my dad, and it was probably, like, I think it was at night. I pulled in, I told my dad, and my dad started crying. And he goes, it's so hard to watch someone fuck with your kid.
Yeah.
Dude, and if when you haven't seen this yet, but when people fuck with your child, fuck with your child, it raises, like, it raises emotions that are, like, parallel to panic, but, you know, in that fight or flight?
Yeah.
That same thing that makes you panic and run makes you panic and want to murder motherfuckers.
I'm real scared of how I'll respond to that.
I think we all are. Like, the first time your kid gets fucked with, like...
I had a bad reaction to just even a little bit of that at a park where, like, I you know, I had pretty dark visions in my head.
Dude, I'm, if anything, I'm vindictive, right? If anything. There's a woman who one time told a lie about Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That woman's not doing so hot now.
Really?
Oh, fucking kicked her out of everything. Fucking Scorpio. Ah, fuck you, you cunt. It's like just, just shit like that, man. Yeah.
My dad, you know, I did threaten to kill somebody one time over the phone.
Yeah.
And the police got involved.
Okay, wait, start this story from the beginning.
Should we do this ad first?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silence.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So I got a call. This is like years ago. I was out here. I had a day job at a post-production facility. And I got a call. She wasn't even like... My mom called me and she said that this guy was really rude to her at this furniture store.
I couldn't understand how you would ever get in this situation. And the second you said this, the second you said I got a call, I went, I've gotten that call.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
She goes, a guy was really rude to me. And she wasn't like trembling or like, she was just like down. She was like sad. And I was like, what happened? She was like, well, I was trying to buy like a, I don't know, like a couch or something. And, you know, this guy was like, what are you saying? Because my mom has a heavy accent. And she was like, you know, asking him like, is this for that? And he goes, look, I don't speak Russian. Like he goes, so why don't you like learn English or like go somewhere else? Something like that.
Jesus.
And I was like, what? So I just snapped, right? And I called him and she told me where she was. And I go, I want you to know that you're going to die today. And I was dead
you're
serious.
In California.
Yeah, I was in California. I go, someone's going to come to your store today and fucking kill you.
Oh.
And
by the way, this is real because this is South Florida.
Yeah.
And he assumes he's Russian.
Yeah.
And the Russian mob is fucking everywhere.
Oh yeah.
And not to mention there's that getting shot in Florida is a real fucking thing.
Yeah, for sure. And everyone's carrying guns. Everyone. It's so easy to, first of all, just have a gun on you. And then if you want to go as far as getting a concealed carry permit, you have to fill out one piece of paper. That's what it takes in Florida. Like, yeah. Everyone has guns.
I didn't put it in the special, but the joke I have is our waiting period for a gun out here, I think, is like 12 days. Mm-hmm. The waiting period in Florida is, and switch.
It's true. No one gives it. So I was like, you're going to die. And he was like trying to say, I go, you can just stop talking. I go, you're going to fucking die. And
you can just say, guy, I don't want to hear the rest of
it. I don't want to hear what you're going to say at all.
Unless it's funeral arrangements.
Yeah. So I remember he was, you could tell he was getting worked up, you know? And I stayed real calm. Like, he was like, what are you saying? I was like, I go, you made a mistake. You said the wrong thing to the wrong person. And now you're going to be fucking dead. And then I hung up the phone. And then I remember the IT people, because I worked at a pretty big production facility.
Yeah.
And so, like, a couple of them came around and they were like, hey, did somebody threaten to kill someone in Florida?
And you're like, that seems pretty specific for a guest.
I was like, I was just like, I'm kind of busy right now, man. So I just went back to what I was doing. And I was like, whew. I just remembered like feeling like such a thrill, you know? And and then so I kind of like let it go, you know, a few minutes went by, and then I kind of wanted to call the guy again. So I did. But this time I fucked up because I wasn't thinking, and I called him from my cell phone. So when I called him from my cell phone, see, before when I called, it was the outgoing number of the production house.
Yeah.
Now I call from my cell phone. So then he was, he was like, oh, I know who you are. Now I know who you are. Sheriff's department's coming right now. You just threatened to kill me, buddy. Like, you're going to be arrested. And I was like, I don't give a fuck, man. You're still going to die today. So I just was like, I just leaned into it, you know? I was like, go ahead, tell him everything. Here's my address. I just was like, all you need to know is like, if you stay where you are, someone's coming to kill you. So
Sheriff's Department's on their way. Yeah. It's such a Tampa thing to say. Yeah.
It is.
Sheriff's Department.
Sheriff's Department's coming. So then I hung up, and then I knew I was fucked. I was like, fuck. Like, for at work.
Yeah.
Because at first they were like, we have no idea who called.
And now they're like, hey, Tom, are you from Florida?
Yeah. So then they pull me in to the IT room, which is like, has two guys there. And they're like, hey, so there's this place in Florida that said that like they got a call. Then they got a call from you specifically from your cell phone. And they said, you're going to kill this guy? And I was like, oh, no, no. And I totally was like, no, dude. What happened was this guy was on the phone. He said some crazy shit. And I was like, fuck you back. He's crazy.
He's like, maybe I'll kill you. Well, I mean, maybe something like that. But,
and I totally was like, oh, no, no. We were just like fucking around. And they were like, okay. And they just like sent me back. I was like, is there a recording of the call? They were like, no. I was like, oh, no. I was like, we were totally joking.
I'm on it.
I got my friend's friend. And I was just joking around. Yeah. But here's the whole point of this was that we brought it up over the holidays. Because everybody remembered. And my dad was like, I was so proud of you for making that call. And he gave me like a fist bump.
My son may not be a killer like I was, but he's got it in him.
Yeah, he was like, he's like, you did the right thing.
Really?
And I was like, I've totally snapped. And he was like, yeah, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
He's like, when you threaten that guy and threaten to kill him, I was proud of you.
Dude, I punched a kid one time, and my dad was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I punched this kid. You want to know what he said? He made fun of my teeth.
He did.
And this was before I even had anything fixed. Like, he was like, my mouth was a wreck, and he said something. I wish I remember this kid's name. I said something, and he said something about my teeth, and I just fucking fired off, and I fucking knocked him on the ground. Didn't knock him out, but knocked him onto the ground. And then
what grade were you in?
I was going into ninth grade. It was the day before ninth grade started. And that was Sunday night. And I fucking knocked him and I said, say it again. And he just laid on the ground. It was really weird. It's really weird how like things that you see in movies never happen in real life the way they happen in movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you say, you, in that moment, you hit someone, you think it's going to be like everyone's, ah, but a lot of people are like, what the fuck did you just do? And the kid's like, why? Well, you hit me, man. And
yeah.
And it's just so awkward.
Yeah, it doesn't, not like in a movie.
Not like in the movie.
Movies, it's clean and cool and, yeah.
And it sounded weird. It sounded like this, like it just didn't sound like, it was so fucking bizarre. And then I walked home. I was across we're on the other side of our neighborhood. I walked home. I go, oh my God. My dad's like, did you just fucking hit somebody? I went, yeah. And he goes, why the fuck would you hit someone? I said, he said something to me. He was like, like what the fuck? Are you out of your fucking mind? Like my dad's rules were so bizarre growing up. Like, I remember I said the word faggot one time, and I know that's going to be clipped out and put all over the internet, but I said it one time, and my dad goes, I said it in our house. Like, you'd say it to your friends all the time. But I said it in our house. My dad goes, what the fuck did you just say? And I was like, in my head, I was like, this isn't a bad word. This is the Suarez brothers taught me this word. This is how you say hi to your friend. And he was like, what are you, homophobic? He goes, are you afraid you're gay? Are you gay? Is that what's going on? Are you gay? If you're gay, tell me you're gay. I'm fine. I'll love a gay son. Tell me you're gay. Are you gay? And I was like, what? No. He goes, are you having a relationship? Like, really aggressive about it. And I go, what? He goes, don't ever use that fucking word in my house. Don't ever use that fucking word in my house. I was like, okay.
Whoa.
I walked away and I was like, faggot. But it's so weird because that was way, and then in a weird way, I never heard that word the same.
Yeah.
And I never, word wasn't huge in my vocabulary as a kid, but it was, you know, very big with all my friends. And I, in a weird way, because my dad got so aggressive about that, I was like, oh.
Yeah, my dad, I never heard my dad say that. He, I don't know, man. I always feel like he looked at all of us, I think because when he had been in combat,
yeah,
like just as civilians and only person, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like when I would do something that was like, he was disappointed in, he would just kind of like, you're like, oh, you're just like a regular.
Typical.
Yeah, you're a regular person. His criticism would be if I was lazy, you know, I wanted to like sleep in, and if I was like, oh, this is heavy, you know, like he'd be like, bring this bag inside, whatever.
Yeah.
I'd be like, it's heavy. He's like, come on, Sarah. And I was like, Jesus. Like,
Sarah?
Yeah, just call me a girl's name. He'd be like, hey, Alice, is that heavy? And I was
like, come on, Sarah.
I was like,
that's great.
Yep. And then I like bring it in. He's like, Jesus, come on.
We should do a dad's trip. Take our dads together somewhere. Do you think my dad and your dad would get along like me and you?
They would get along. I mean, they would.
My dad is really weird about respect. Like he respects men. Like
yeah.
He can really appreciate
men. Dude, they're both old school white guy, Catholic guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would get along.
Where'd your dad grow up, Ohio?
Louisville.
Louisville?
Yeah.
Really? It's crazy.
It's like the most Catholic city.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do a dad's trip.
It's definitely, yeah. I mean, does your dad relax in a button down in khakis? Because that's what my dad wears. You're like, why don't you like get comfortable? He'll go, I am comfortable.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you're like
slacks.
Yeah,
slacks with a maybe a golf shirt.
Yeah,
is my dad's comfort.
Is his dress down? Lovers. Yeah.
Like I bought him a pair of Nike Ultra Boost Adidas Ultra Boost for Christmas, and he was you could tell he was like
where would I wear this?
He was like wearing a thong. Like,
yeah.
He was like, what am I supposed to do with this? I feel weird.
Yeah.
How come my feet don't hurt? How come my feet don't hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad relaxes now with marijuana.
That is wild.
I know. It's really bizarre. We played golf at Pebble Beach.
Uh-huh.
And he...
That's awesome. Over this break?
It's awesome until I tell you what happened.
What?
My dad overdosed himself and was on the cliffs like this. Fuck. Fuck.
Super high?
So high.
How was his golf swing?
Horrible, as he hurt his back the day before.
Oh shit.
We played
this is like a week or two ago.
No, we played Spyglass or Spanish. I think we played Spyglass the day before. I had an eagle And we played. It was fucking one of the most beautiful days of my life. One of the best days. One of those days. I've had a couple with my dad.
You have
dad,
a good golf swing, man.
Yeah, thanks.
I remember when we did Top Golf.
Yeah, you Ari was a shockingly good golfer.
He was doing. He was chipping well.
Yeah, he was. He played competitively at his yeshiva.
He did.
He was well. I don't know how hard it is to make.
Now you were swinging that five iron clean, man. Yeah.
And so it's my privilege. And so, but my dad, we played really great at Pebble at Spyglass. I think it was Spyglass. And then Pebble Beach the next day is back hurt. We started playing. He played pretty good. And then he was like, "I'm gonna take some marijuana to loosen my back up."
I cannot believe this.
And he ate like, I want to say like 30 milligrams. He ate a lot.
That's enough to get you going.
We get to the two most picturesque holes on Pebble Beach, right?
And he's like,
they're both on a cliff, and my dad's driving the cart on the left side of the cart, like in the grass to the left, away from the cliff. By the way, the cliff is 100 yards that way. And my dad's like already like, "Oh, fuck." And I was like, "Dad," and he goes, "You know what, buddy? I don't know what, I don't think I can play the rest of this hole." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, I'm going to sit over here. Don't go. And he was having such panic attacks. We go to the third hole. This is the hole everyone gets a picture on. This is the most picturesque hole of all of Pebble, one of the most picturesque holes on all of Pebble Beach. And my dad couldn't get from under the cart. Like, he was like hiding in the cart and he was freaking out so bad. And I was like, maybe we'll get a cocktail and loosen up that buzz a little bit.
Yeah.
By the end, my dad's just fucking wasted.
Now, I think they would get along, though. I do. I think they would like.
We should do a father son trip.
I would do it.
Let's do it.
Have them come to a. Where's a good place to take them?
Let's bring them out on stage and we do a live Two Bears One Cave.
Dude, that would be bonkers. We're gonna do one.
Yeah.
Relatively soon.
Yeah. We should do a live Two Bears One Cave.
There we go. I mean, yeah, my dad would love it.
It'd be fucking great.
My dad, by the way, he'll say things like, he goes, "People love to hear me speak." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "I consider it like a real treat for them to get to hear me."
My dad's like that too.
And I'm like, "All right." And he's like, "You know, the thing is, like, people just remember when I say things. You know, like, I'm just good at it." I'm like, "I wish I thought of myself the same way."
My dad,
what the
like,
fuck, man?
"Buddy, you want me to go on the road with you? I'll go out, rip my shirt off. People go crazy when I do that." I go, "Yeah." He goes, "All right, I know why you do it now."
"How many dates you want to do?" Yeah. And you're like,
"Do a little father son thing, you know? Like, well, I'll come out and just be like, you'll tell a story." I'll go, "That didn't happen." I go, "Yeah, it's fun, Dad. That's really fun." "Kid's got an active imagination. Never happened. Didn't even go to Russia." My dad is, I have a great story about my dad thinking that Will Smith was gay.
I remember this.
And I told it somewhere and someone said, came into my dad and told him and he goes, "Never happened." And I go, "It totally happened." And he goes, "Never happened. You got an active imagination. I never thought Will Smith was gay." I go, "No, you're 100%. It's really hard for me to make up this scenario, Dad." And he was like, "Well, I'll tell you, all the things happen in your head never happen." I remember my sister and I was telling a story and I was like, "I remember when I was a kid, I'd ride on my dad's lap in our van." And he goes, "Never had a van." I go, "We definitely had a van." And he goes, never had a van. And he goes, "You make a lot of stuff up and you believe it. And I'm fine with that, but we never had a van." So I'm telling the same story this Christmas to my daughters about riding on my dad's lap
in
our
van, yeah,
hitting the blinker. And my dad goes, "Never had a van." And my sister Annie goes, "We totally had a fucking van." And my mom goes, "We had a van." And he goes, "Okay." I was like, "That's it? You called me a liar? And now you're just going to go, 'All right, guess we had a van.'"
Dude, our dads are going to get along. My dad just goes, if he said something and I'm like it's like I had the bit in my special about Tommy Lee Jones is gay.
Yeah. You know? No, yeah. I don't know this. Man.
You don't know this?
Joke to me.
Dude, so I talked about how like rumors are spread.
Yeah.
And then one time, I think we were watching The Fugitive and my dad goes, "Did you know he's gay?" And I go, "Who?" And he goes, "Tommy Lee Jones." I go, "Tommy Lee Jones?" And this is back when, for people that, back when like when you said someone was gay, people would go like, "Holy shit." Yeah. It's not like now when they're like, "Okay." And yeah, like yeah. Where you realize it's just, you know, normal part of the population makeup. So It was like just startling, right? If you to hear of some, like, you see that guy on he's gay, and you'd be like, oh my God, does he have fucking four legs or something? Like, you just would didn't know how to. So he told me that, and I was like, really? And he was like, yeah. And I go, how do you know? And he was like, oh, my friend told me. And I go, Jesus. And so then it became a thing that I would tell people. Like,
you ready for my equivalent quick?
My
dad told me Sam Cooke got shot raping a woman. I tell everyone that.
It's not true.
It's not true. Keep going.
I fucking started to tell everybody, right? Like, anytime a movie came out and Tommy Lee Jones was in fucking 80 of them, I'd be like, you know he's gay? And people would be like, no. And I'd be like, yep. And then they would just basically be like, how do you know that? And I would just go, my dad told me. So
my dad told me.
And they'd be like, did you fuck your dad fuck him or something? I was like, no. So I kept telling people, freshman year of college, I'm in the freshman dorms.
Yeah.
And I tell this kid, Matt, who's in the dorms with me, I go, oh yeah, like there's like the movie, a movie's on TV, and I go, oh, did you know Tommy Lee Jones is gay? And he goes, he's definitely not gay. And I go, oh no, he is. And they're like, he's like, where are you getting this? And I'm like, my dad.
My dad.
And he knows. And he's like, he's definitely not. And I'm like, well, how do you know that? And he goes, because I know Tommy Lee Jones. Oh, sorry. He goes, I know him. And I'm like, how do you know him? He's like, because my dad and Tommy Lee Jones are friends, not lovers. And I've known his family for years. I know his wife. We've vacationed with him. He's 100% not gay. And I was like, this sounds fucking suspect. And he's like, dude, I don't know where you're getting this.
My dad.
Yeah. He's like, this is completely wrong. He's like, he's straight. Definitely straight. So I call my dad and I'm like, dude, I call him from the dorms. I go, I just fucking found out for sure Tommy Lee Jones is not gay. And he goes, oh, I thought he was. And I'm like, dad, I've been telling this for years. I've told thousands of people this. And he's like, yeah. I go, why did you tell me that? He's like, I can't remember. I'm like, is that it? And he was like, yep.
I thought he was.
Yeah. I'm like, you just decided to label this guy?
And he's like, yeah. You out spreading grassroots propaganda based off a hunch.
A hunch. He's like, I always thought he was. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, I wonder if those dads still exist. Because I know I'm not that dad. Like, I'm like those dads that just, like, my dad was like that. We're
way more in touch with, like, human behavior and, you know what I mean? Like,
the other day, Isla comes in and goes, I had the craziest dream last night. I go, oh, you should hear my dream. She was like, really? I went, Isla, I had a dream that two sisters, Georgia and Isla, could travel into dreams. So they'd go in to a child, into a hospital. They'd hold a hand, and they could travel into the sleeping child's dream, and they could help get in their dream and rescue the child and get them out of a coma. And then they got hired by this family whose father was in a coma, and they were fighting over the will. And they went, and it turns out the father was a horror writer. And so in his dreams, it was terrifying, and they couldn't get out because the day he grabbed onto their hands.
What the fuck, man?
And I go, what was your dream about? She goes, nothing. She goes, nothing. I'm gonna go to bed.
Was that really your dream?
Really a dream, yeah. I have fucking insane dreams.
That is an insane dream.
I've had dreams that would. I used to call Doug Benson's answering machine and leave him on there. I had dreams, and they were really intense. That would be like, would fucking creep you out. I had a dream one time that. I'm sure people have heard me say this. I'm trying to think of one that I haven't told, but this is a really good one. I went to Rogan's house. Everyone's there in the dream, but it's all like Game of Thrones. There's fires on the tables and big fires. People shooting bow and arrows, and someone grabs me and they're like, Stanhope's waiting for you in the other room. So I go into the room and I just written my book, and he was like, hey, and he's sitting in a throne, and he's like, I wrote a book. You inspired me to write a book. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah, I want you to read it. So he hands me like a folder, and I open it, and it's inside a piece of paper, like two or three pieces of paper, and they're stapled together. And it's one, it's just like this, right? And so I read the whole thing, and then I look on the other side, and it on the back, and it says, you know, take stickers. So I take the stickers and place on forearm. So I place them on my forearm, and I look at it, and I go, it's great. And it's just it looks like this. And he's like, what'd you think? I says, it's great. He goes, read it again. I go, what? And he goes, read it again. And I went, well, I just read it. And he goes, no. The stickers are acid. Every time you read it, it changes. Those, I've picked the perfect words to tell the perfect story so that on acid, you can read that over and over and over again. And each time is a different adventure. And I look down at the paper, and now all the letters are vibrating and coming off the page and dropping. And coming off the page and dropping, I look at Stanhope, and he's like, keep reading. And I look, and now all the letters are sparkling, and I'm inside the sentence, riding a horse with a fucking knife, fighting the letters like it's a big fucking thing. And I'm like, holy shit. And he's like, keep reading. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, it's the, and I'm like, this is genius. And I woke up, and I was like, told my wife, she's like, I don't give a fuck about your dream.
This is a sober dream for you?
Sober dreams, dude. I've had dreams. I had a dream that had me, I woke up crying, like not in a good way. So I'll tell you this, because it's a really fucking crazy dream, okay?
Let's do this.
Okay, do this.
Don't forget this, your dream. Okay. All right. This is a perfect time to bring up the fact that we kind of are thrown into another weight loss thing again.
How is this working?
So
has it already started?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Basically, I think that when we did our Sober October recap, Joe was like, you could tell like in his eyes, he was like, you guys are
fat again. Oh, Jesus.
And he was like, it's kind of upsetting to me. Like, it's like when he sees you smoke a cigarette, and he's like, yeah. Ugh. So he was like, why are you guys fat again? And we're like, I don't know. And then he was like, let's do a weight loss thing. And everyone was like, okay. And then with Ari, he's like, and you, please try to put something on. Yeah. He looks like he's
Ari.
He's fucking 80.
Ari needs to put some muscle on because he's just got an old man's body.
Yeah. 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 He does.
Like he needs to put muscle on for real because he looks like, you know, and that's the number one thing for guys like that.
Jews?
Skinny. Those lanky guys,
yeah,
is their bone density starts to disappear.
His is.
Yeah. His bone density is disappearing.
It's really low.
That's why he broke his fucking wrist skiing because he's turning into old man.
Yeah.
And that thing that happens with him, with guys like him, that skinny, don't have any mass, is one injury leads to another injury and that leads to death. Death is knocking on his door.
That soon?
100%. He's going to break a hip. Easy. He'll break a hip.
Jesus.
His bones are so brittle.
He's got to lift weights.
He broke his wrist doing nothing, and it was a severe break.
Yeah.
He was skiing pretty fast. But still, a lot of people fucking bust and don't break their bones.
Yeah, yeah. No, he needs... So he's doing that, and then you and I are supposed to... Joe wants to lose 10 pounds? No, 15.
15 pounds. He wants to get to 190.
What are you trying to get down to?
I want to get to 205.
But by the end of February. That's not what you're trying to do then. Right?
I don't know. I can totally focus on weight loss now because I got nothing on my plate. I mean, not nothing, but...
Right, but are you going to try to be 205? You're not trying to be 205 by the end of February.
I just want to get as low as I can get. I want to get below 220 and stay below 220.
Yeah.
I can maintain weight fine. Like, I can actually... Let me rephrase this. I cannot gain weight. I know how to not gain weight, and I know how to gain weight, but I know how to not gain weight. The losing the weight is hard.
Yeah.
Once, like, when we got down to the weight
loss... What's the hard part for you of weight loss? What's the hard part?
Honestly, I was talking to someone about drinking, and they were saying, like, you know, I wasn't out of control. I'd find myself walking over the bottle and just grabbing it and drinking it. I went, I'm like that with my refrigerator. Like, if I... Isla and I have the same fucking brain. Last night, we're watching some stupid show, Alaskan Bush People... And they have a commercial for Domino's has a Brooklyn style pizza, mm-hmm. Brooklyn foldable style.
Yeah.
And Isla's fingers go up here. She goes, oh, Dad. Yeah, skipper fingers.
Yeah.
She goes, would you get one of those? It's 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. What'd you say?
I went, of course. I called Domino's. I called three different Domino's to find the one that, I mean, it was like, call the first Domino's, we don't deliver to you. Normally you just go, oh, it's not meant to be.
Yeah.
Call the second Domino's. Took my order, placed my order, called back. Sorry, we don't deliver to you. I was like, don't worry, Otto. We're finding this Domino's. Called the third Domino's, got an extra large pepperoni Brooklyn. Sent it in, and I said to myself, I got it for Isla. I'm not going to have any. I literally am saying this.
Really?
To myself. I'm lying to myself. I'm lying to myself. I'm knowing full well I'm taking one to the face. I go, you guys want some pizza? And George is like, I'll take one. And Leanne's like, I'll try it. And I was like, well, we're all going to have one. And I'm like, no, not me. So I put them all out in the, Tom, I ate one by myself and then lied to myself and took them out and go, here you go. And they're like, you're not going to have one? And I went, nah, I already ate it. I just lied. I can't help myself. I cannot fucking help myself.
Did you have more than one?
I did not.
For real?
I did not. My mouth's watering. I went back to go get them, and it was and they had cooled, and I saw now how much grease was on it.
Yeah.
And I looked at it cooled, and I was like, it's not going to be what I saw when it showed up. I was like, I'm going to pass. I mean, I do this thing. I made udon, like a beef udon, yeah, for the girls last night.
Yeah.
And it was fun as shit. Made bone broth. Like, it was really fun. I'm putting it away, and I'm just taking hunks of meat.
Yeah.
Just putting it in my mouth.
Of course.
Like, eating a meal. I'm eating a meal, but I have no self-control.
With the food.
It's weird because I have it right now. Right now, I haven't eaten yet today.
At all?
I've had coffee, yeah. And so I intermittent fast up until whatever the 16-hour period is. But man, once I know I can eat.
Then you go crazy.
Yeah, but it's even like yesterday, I was like, I'm going to eat healthy. I went to Hot Spin. Coming home. I'm like, I'm going to eat something healthy. And then Leanne had baked sourdough bread. And I was like, fuck, I'll make a sandwich. I'll make a healthy sandwich. And then I'm like putting cheese on it. And then I'm like fucking mayonnaise. And then I'm just like, I'm a horseradish. Yeah. And I was like, fuck it. Let's load this bitch up. Yeah. Let's make a beautiful sandwich. And then I start going, oh, by the way, this is like, I know this is real addiction. This is real addiction. I then say, who wants a grilled cheese? Knowing full well they're not going to finish a grilled cheese, and I can wrap up a grilled cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And I make amazing grilled cheeses with Leanne's bread, lightly toasted, cheese is melting, bring it into Georgia, cut it in half, knowing she's only going to eat half. I eat a full grilled cheese eating both their halves.
Yeah. And you're like, I didn't have grilled cheese today.
Yeah. I just had a sandwich. I have a real problem with addiction with food. Yeah. Like a legit, legit problem. And
no,
I can't help it.
I feel the same. I'm the same way. I really am. I love food. The hardest thing for me too is that like I'll get into good workout habits and then you're just like you're fuel like you're hungry. Like so now it's not just like, oh, standard, I need to eat. I'm just so for me it's like the planning, right? Like planning how to eat. If you do the planning and the structure, you can, but if you go like I'm just gonna wing it, I can't wing it.
Oh, I can't wing it. I can't just go, I'll find something healthy to eat.
Can't do it.
The fuck?
No.
You know what I probably need? I probably need little boxes of things I'm allowed to eat. Put in the fridge.
Yeah.
And then that's my thing. Because then I'll just look at it and go, oh, okay, I'll
this
do
is
that.
For me.
I did that. I did a cleanse with Leanne. I got down to two, the lightest I've been in my adult life, probably 215, mm-hmm. 212. I looked really good. It was my right when I turned 40. And my mouth's watering right now thinking of food. And I would have a juice in the morning, lean protein and green in the afternoon, and a juice at night. And it was like very structured. I'm good with rules. Like that's why Sober October works for me, is because I go, oh, I can do no booze at all. I can totally do no booze. But if you say a little booze, I'm going to go, why not a lot of booze? Why not?
Right.
Why not every other night? Why not, like, as opposed to I just should go, like last night I'm like, I'm not going to drink tonight. I'm going to eat healthy. And then I go to the store because I'm making this bone broth and I'm like, oh, I could really pump up this udon. And then I was like, I need some sake with this udon. Like, why not get a little sake? It goes in the recipe anyway. It's a little. And then next thing you know, I'm stirring bone broth, drinking sake out of the thing, going like, fucking, who wants to open a bottle of wine?
Yeah, you're living well. But you're not doing so. You know, it's not as crazy as it sounds. It's not like you're like in trouble.
No, I'm not like... The thing is, I'm getting up every day. I'm working out twice a day. I'm running 3 miles every day this year. That's my goal. I'm going to run 1,000 miles this year.
That's great.
I'm going to run 1,000 miles and do 25 push-ups every day. I figured if I run 1,000 miles and do 25 push-ups every single day, mm-hmm. I will see a difference.
It's got to be some difference for
sure.
Yeah,
I ran 383 miles last year.
Wow, so this would be more than triple.
Well, the key is, right, is or more no, than triple, triple, but, triple. But I had like January of last year, I ran 1.9 miles. Like
it's not a good month.
That's when I put on all my weight.
Really?
Beginning
of was
my
it on
tour,
the road? Oh yeah,
beginning of my tour.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking. What do you guys want for dinner? I don't know. What's the city good known for? Coney's.
Yeah.
Let's get $100 worth.
Yeah. No, I was when the tour. You know the
do
other
you realize
thing.
How big we'd be together if we toured together? We would be houses.
The tour. The bad part about the tour is not just. It was the 4 or 5 cities in a week. Sleep all fucked. You know what I mean? Like when you have very little structure to it. It's like, then we're going to get on the bus at midnight. You'll wake up 6 a.m. We'll be in this city, you know, and then you're like dragging through that day. You have 2 shows that night. Get back on the bus. Those weeks are not good for your
health.
And
casinos. I did 2 casinos in December and Pechanga and Borgata. And you get done the Borgata, you know, especially Borgata. Pechanga was amazing as well, but especially Borgata, you get done and they're like, hey, we got a table for you at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Everything's taken care of. And you're like, oh, cool. And you go in, you're like, they're like, what do you want? And I was like, well, what's good? And he was bone-in filet. And you're like, I'll take one. Oh, it's midnight. Give me a double Tito's and soda.
Yeah, but don't forget, you got to try it. We have like 6 great appetizers.
Dude.
You want us to bring them all out?
Pechanga. Like, we go to Pechanga, and I go in, and I said, you know, I'm with my family. Cause, no, that was Borgata. I'm with Borgata. I'm with my family, and meaning my cousins, and Ian, my opener, and they go, what do you want? And I said, well, what's good? And they go, scallops is really good. The bacon's really good, but the seafood tower is pretty outrageous. And I go, well, we don't need all that. We'll just go bacon and scallops. And then the guy comes over and leans on Mary, and he goes, it's comped. I went, what? And he goes, it's comped, so get the seafood tower. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And then he comes over and he goes, so what do you guys want to eat? And I go, why don't you just pick? He goes, yeah? I said, yeah. He goes, you're going to like what I bring out. He brought out, I think, one of every steak and had them all pre-sliced. And it was all over the fucking table. And it was, and he brought, they had a, my mouth is watering right now. They had a bone-in veal parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
A bone-in.
Never even heard of that.
Veal parmesan. It was the greatest thing I had ever had in my life. I'm going to tell you. It was so good, comp meal. I'm not gonna say what I tipped because I was pretty drunk,
mm-hmm.
but I think I tipped. I'm pretty sure I tipped.
Wow!
Right? But you're talking about a $1,200 meal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I tell you? I tipped. I called someone
mm-hmm.
and asked him what I tipped, mm-hmm. and he goes, "You tip what the bill was."
God damn!
I said, "Really?" And he goes, "You are saving 20%. You tip what the bill was." And I went, it's an interesting way to look at it. I had already planned on paying it. So that is an interesting way to, someone says this is for free.
Who told you that? I mean,
one of my buddies, movie producer.
Oh, wow. Guy,
Tom Hayslip. He goes, you tip, if someone's comping your meal, you tip them
what the
bill would have been. And then you just save 20% knowing you would have tipped 20%. So ultimately it's a good deal. And I was like, eh. I was like, I'll just tip half the bill or whatever, roughly.
But
the best was he then, told me how everyone else tipped. So, you know, I'm not the only comic that goes to the Borgata. Lots of comics go to the Borgata. Lots of comics get exactly what I got. A lot of comics get comped meals. A lot of comics bring in families.
And not so good?
And not so good. Some guys are great. He was like, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but man, I'll tell you right now. You tip right. Nice. I went, really? He goes, oh yeah.
All right. Well, these cameras are about to go off, so I'd like the full scoop.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, you want to go to restaurants with me. I go, I'm a fucking asshole.
Let's go.
I mean, I'm just like.
Oh, we're going to eat tomorrow.
We are? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always just like, what's, like, they'll be like, well, the 4 big ones that people usually order, I'm like, so those? And they're like, you want all of them? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, okay.
And
I'm like, bring them all out and then, you know, have the table share. And then come back. Maybe we'll do, I don't know, maybe we'll do multiple courses. And they're like, this isn't a multiple course restaurant. I'm like, yeah, we'll do it anyway.
Dude, Leanne goes, can I tell you something that I think is pretty basic, but I don't think you're really getting your head around? And I said, what's that? She goes, in the periods of your life when you're gaining weight, it's when you're ordering 2 meals at dinner. And I went,
yeah.
And by the way, I don't see it because I know I only eat half of those meals.
Yeah.
Like, because I'll get... Sometimes I'll go to dinner and I won't know. Like I did this the other day at an Italian restaurant. I said, I know I should get the fish, and the fish sounds good.
Yeah.
But what's your best pasta? And he goes, oh. Yeah. And I go, okay, I'll get one of each. Squid ink, right? Oh, come on. How do you not go squid ink?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so Leanne's like, and then Leanne got her meal, and it sucked. And I go, try my squid ink. And she was like, oh, no, you got it. And I go, no, have it. And then I pass it around. Everyone take a little bite. It's really good. Squid ink's great. And then I eat the fish. Fish was a little bony. And then you're like, oh, thank God I got the squid ink, you know? So but ordering two meals is my favorite thing. Going to them and saying, what's your best, what's your four best appetizers? Just bring them out. Don't even tell me what they are.
Yeah.
I love being surprised.
Yeah, of course. Shit, man.
I'm fucking starving right now.
Yeah.
It's 1:03. I haven't eaten today.
Oh, yeah. I got to get going.
If you could get something to eat right now, what would it be?
Right now?
Like, yeah, like drive through, like.
I mean, I haven't eaten much today either, so something like really hearty and fatty sounds good, like a big ass, you know, In-N-Out burger or like I mean, you talking about steaks just make me want a steak. I went to a steakhouse last night and got salmon, you know, trying to be a good boy. Well, I talked to my trainer.
That's so like having a threesome and just jacking off in the corner.
I know. My trainer, I was going through this fucking weight loss thing. Because we had broken down
Hold on. What is the joke there? You go into a steakhouse and got salmon. That's like wearing a condom in a threesome. I went to a steak and got salmon. I went to a steakhouse and got salmon. That's like being gay but not having anal sex. What's the point of being gay then?
Yeah.
If you're just getting blowjobs.
It's like... It's like being black and never rapping. Okay. All right, all right.
I can't co-sign that.
So,
it's like, by the way,
what?
Nothing. I guess
do it.
Nine great.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
No way. No fucking way. That's a great one, though. Oh. Oh.
It's like being a pedophile and not.
And not having a computer.
I was talking to my trainer and he was like, well, you know what your macros are, right? You break down like your protein, carb, fat per day. Yeah. And then he was like, hey, I broke this all down. He goes, so like your calorie intake should be, and it was like, like 1700. And I was like, I feel like maybe I should calculate it. He's like, are you hitting that? I was like, I think more, but I gotta go look at the data.
Wait, so you looked at your calorie intake the same way people look at baking at altitude? You're like,
It's a couple thousand feet.
Leanne got a trainer.
She did?
Leanne got a trainer. And
when's her 50th?
August 20th.
Dude, what are you planning? You gotta plan something crazy.
I was thinking of... Originally, I wanted to get a beach house in Hawaii, and fly whoever she wants out to Hawaii.
Yeah,
and everyone go to a beach house for like a week.
That's great.
Yeah, she's like, why would we do that? Why don't we just get a beach house in Malibu? And then I was like, okay. And then she's like, well, wait, why would we even get a beach house? Let's just have a party.
Here. You need to override.
Yeah,
you need to just do it anyway. You need to book it. Just book it and be like, you're fucked. Happy birthday. We got to go. I got to go. I got to run. Love you. Happy
Birdie
New
Boy
Year.
World Tour. Tom's in Australia right now.
Yep.
Y en Español.
Go to tomsegura.com/tour for the dates that I'm announcing a bunch of dates later in 2020, but he's on a big tour right now, so go see
Birdie
him.
Birdie Boy World Tour. I will see you guys. Have fun.
Have fun.
All right, love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bert and Tom. Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.